Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Good morning to you. Happy Monday. I hope it is, in fact, a happy Monday. Not a manic Monday, not a miserable Monday, not an emotional Monday. I hope it's even keel, as even keel as Scottie Scheffler after he got arrested for reportedly, allegedly dragging a cop alongside his vehicle on Friday morning when he was trying to get into a golf tournament. Man, if that's not enough to bring people back to a golf tournament, I'm not sure what is. Goodness, he's accused of being relatively boring and vanilla and not charismatic, not the type of superstar that golf needs. Yet here he is finishing in the top 10 for the 10th time in his last 13 majors, including a couple wins in there, on the heels of getting arrested and charged with a felony and a handful of misdemeanors, and then going back to the golf course. I don't want to say like nothing ever happened, because that's not true. But we just missed it on Friday morning. In fact, it was happening when we were talking with our Golf Channel insider, Matt Adams. Nobody had any idea. And then, boom, all of a sudden. So, yeah, I was still awake hours later because I couldn't stop refreshing on social media and looking at the comments, the reaction, and also the great reporting of Jeff Darlington, who was there on the scene. So that happened Friday. The golf tournament continued to a really tight finish. Almost a photo finish, if you will, where Bryson DeChambeau ties for the lead with a birdie on his very last hole, the 18th on Sunday, only to have Xander Schauffele come along behind him and birdie that very same hole to break the tie and win the tournament by a stroke. First time major winner is Xander. And I think it's 9 PGA championships in a row now won by Americans. I hope the weekend play, even without Tiger Woods, is the story and not necessarily what happened with Scottie, though he was still talking about it on Sunday as people were asking him questions. So we'll get to the golf in Valhalla, wondering whether or not it ever hosts a PGA championship again. It's a course that's relatively familiar to golfers who've been around for any length of time. It's hosted multiple PGA majors, but the traffic has always been an issue. Not only were there 2 accidents on the first 2 mornings of the tournament, but of course the one on Friday, right before Scottie was trying to get into the tournament and was disobeying the instructions of a cop, reportedly, a man died, a man who was crossing the road to get into gate 1 at Valhalla. He got hit by a shuttle bus. It was dark. It was rainy. I don't know who had the right of way. I just know that a man lost his life and died there on the scene. And in the middle of all of that, the tragedy, there's chaos. Traffic has stopped both ways. Scottie Scheffler, according to his attorney and him as well, believed that he was following the rules that are set ahead of time, the processes and the procedures that are set ahead of time for the golfers and their official PGA vehicles. And so he indicated that he was driving around the traffic jam, thinking that he was going to wave his credential and get in. And that part I can understand. But if it's true that there's an officer in the middle of the road who tells him to stop and then grabs onto his vehicle, and somehow Scotty either doesn't know or blatantly accelerates, that's not him. Everything you hear about Scotty Scheffler is that he is a really good guy. He continues to call it a misunderstanding, a miscommunication. Somehow this officer got dragged, which is scary too. I'm glad nothing worse happened besides bruises to his wrist and knee, but his pants were torn up. And as a response, of course, not knowing who Scotty Scheffler is, having just been dragged by this car, reaches in, grabs Scotty's arm, opens the door, and then throws him in handcuffs and puts him in the back of a police vehicle. That was how the weekend started. As I say, thankfully the golf kind of grabbed the headlines, but we'll see. We'll see whether or not people tuned in for the finish or maybe tuned in to see what Scottie Scheffler would do on Friday. I wonder if the ratings for Friday's TV viewership.
I bet they were up.
Went up. Oh my gosh. It's crazy to watch it unfold on social media. But yes, there was a winner, first timer. He's a 9-time winner on the tour, but first time as a major, number 3 golfer in the world, and unfairly had been branded with this idea that he couldn't win the big one. He did, and he did it in dramatic fashion, which was pretty cool. So we'll get to the golf, but it cannot overshadow the dethroning of the champions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Got a picture of my babies. You're just going to have to check it out on both Twitter and Facebook. Jay threw it up on Facebook for me. Here's my question before you ask me who my babies are. My question, what happened, Denver? This was the type of collapse that I would not have expected from the Nuggets. Getting blown out in game 6 in Minneapolis was bad enough. 35 points, remember that? But these are the champs. They're confident. They've got experience. They've got the best player in the world. Got a couple of other really good players, including an all-star guard. They're at home where they're a terrific team with a raucous fan base. It's loud. And they build a 20-point lead. Why? Well, because they were aggressive. They had more points in the paint. More rebounds, more offensive rebounds, second chance points. These are hustle stats, baby. And they hustled. They raced. They rolled out to a 20-point lead over Minnesota. Multiple times in the first half. The Nuggets strung together really impressive runs, including one that was 16 points in a row for the Nuggets.
Jokic has it on the high right side. Gets a pick from Gordon. Puts his backside into Towns. Throws out of it over to Murray, another three. Got it again! Jamal Murray's come to play in game 7. Jokic behind him over to Christian. Dangerous pass, but he handled it. Shoot the ball. Porter, long 2. Yes! Timeout Minnesota. Denver's on a 14-0 run. They lead it by 11. Murray guarded by Anderson. He goes to the right hand. Wing jumper. Got it to foul as well. In the front court, Conley to the rim. Blocked by Brown. Loose ball down to Casey. Outlet pass Murray. It's a 3-on-1. Murray, jumper. Good!
Jason Kosmicki on Denver Nuggets Radio. So, yeah.
Let's go!
You know that old social media trend, how it started, how it's going? Well, how it started was I don't want to say an easy lead for the Nuggets, but they were locked in from the beginning. The crowd was fired up, and pretty quickly, they were able to race out to a double-digit lead. Up by 15 at halftime. Did you know the largest ever comeback in a game seven in NBA history, 11 points. Then they add to it. I think there was a turnover by the Wolves early in the third quarter. So it goes from being an empty possession on one end to being a three on the other end. I remember Reggie Miller called it a 5-point swing, and they were up by 20. In the first minute of the third quarter, the defending champions at home in a game seven are up by 20. And then the wheels come off. It was stunning. It started out being, well, it started out as though it was just some cold shooting. I got to be honest. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Maybe a little bit of tightness here, feeling a little bit of pressure, though you wouldn't expect that with the defending champions. Some bad shots, some shots that didn't drop. Except the Timberwolves caught fire. So not only are they starting to score, but their defense, terrific. Tough, physical, moxie, aggressive, and it fueled them. It fueled them on the offensive end of the court. And while the Nuggets couldn't get any production outside of Jamal Murray or Nikola Jokic, and honestly, Jamal was great in the first half, but got locked down, couldn't get warmed up again in the second half. Joker kept shooting threes that he wasn't hitting. A lot more effective when he would go to the hoop, but he was drawing a ton of attention by the defense, even with Rudy Gobert having the foul trouble and eventually fouling out. Karl Anthony Towns was in his grill as well. As the Nuggets went cold, that Wolves defense just got more and more nasty. Baring its teeth, if you will. Or if you're Anthony Edwards, flexing your muscles. He didn't play great on the offensive end of the court, but there was plenty of offense to go around. A 32-9 run for the Wolves, and it was stunning to watch.
Timberwolves with the ball. Rudy down the lane, runs it up off glass, hits it, and a foul! A 3-point opportunity for Rudy Gobert. Timberwolves take the lead. The run continues. It's now 30-9. Timberwolves have possession. There's only five to shoot. They get it into Rudy along the baseline. He's got a tough fall away. It's up. Oh, it drops in. It could be your night. Conley picks the pocket of Jamal Murray. Conley feeds it to Nas. Down the lane. Extra pass to the corner. Ant sets himself. Fires the three. He hits it. It's 92-82. The Wolves lead by 10 with 3:05 left to play. An unbelievable turnaround here in the second half. From down 20 to up 10 in a game seven with everything on the line. Nuggets won't foul here with seven on the shot clock. Conley left angle. Drives on Michael Porter Jr. Runs it up. No. Slam follow. Karl Anthony Towns. He soared in from the wing. He puts the Wolves up seven with 39 seconds left.
It was tough, man, because I couldn't find myself, my rhythm tonight. So I just had to trust my teammates, man. They kept trapping me even though I was off. So I just had to make the right play throughout the rest of the game, man. And I did that, and my teammates made shots, man. So big shout-out to those guys.
Only 6 of 24 for Anthony Edwards in this game. So not a terrific shooting performance. However, the defense was the most impressive part of the Wolves' rally. Still, no matter what, if you're down 20 and you go up 10, the other team has something to say. It has something to do with it. It's not just, hey, we're trading back. You can't rally from 20 points down if you're just trading baskets. It's more than that. Now, the Wolves have stayed relevant all season long because of their defense, even when Cat was out for a couple of months, and that's when Anthony Edwards, at 22 years old, really started to find his rhythm and take charge. But this was also about the Nuggets. It was also about them getting zero help from anyone other than Jamal or Joker. Jay, what was that stat that you told me? It was after Michael Porter Jr. hit a three to tie the game at 72. That was early fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, so after Michael Porter Jr. hit a three that tied the game at 72 with 10:08 to play, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray were the only Nuggets to score the rest of the way.
Yeah, and they were the only guys to really do any damage. I know that they're the stars. It falls on them. But Aaron Gordon needs to do something more. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Again, these are not star players, but they have to be able to pitch in. Michael Porter was one of six. That was the only three he hit all game. Off the bench, they got nothing except for the 5 points from Christian Braun. And they really, they really didn't go any deeper than the six guys. So this was a mess. Meanwhile, you've got energy for days from the Timberwolves and six different guys in double figures. It doesn't matter if it's game seven and they're on the road for just actually, what was it, second game seven in their franchise history. Doesn't matter who's got the experience. That defense, it's the type of defense that wears you out. And when I asked our NBA insider, Matt Moore, who was at the game, what happened to Denver in the second half, his answer was pretty plain.
It's important here, before I talk about the Denver side of it, to give the Wolves all the credit in the world. This is the best defense that I've seen in 20 years. This is an all-time defense. They compete for every dribble, every pass, every possession, and they deserve all the credit in the world for pulling off the biggest comeback in the Game 7 in NBA history. The Nuggets ran out of gas. They pushed too hard in the first half. They played Joker an incredible amount of minutes in that first half. They disrupted his normal rotation, and Nikola Jokic was out of gas in that second half. And you saw it with the number of threes that he took. You saw it with the number of passive possessions that they had. And both he and Jamal Murray did not have enough in the tank. This Nuggets team has always been a team that would dig down and find more energy to outpace you. And they could not because of the amount of energy the Wolves took from them in the second half. And so they lose this huge 20-point lead. They got away from their offensive process. And the turnovers that they experienced are a product of one. Again, the Wolves are awesome. But also, that's mental fatigue from how much had kind of been put on them. This Nuggets team came out of the All-Star break, tried to make a push for the one seed. We're like, we can do this. And then when they started to tail off a little bit, and you could tell they were getting tired, they still kept pushing. And that took something from them. And I talked about it a lot of like, hey, probably pushing a little too hard here. You need to be healthy and completely rested for the playoffs. But they had to push all the way to the end. Still didn't get the one seed. Wound up with the two. Really looked unimpressive versus the Lakers. And now get beat by the Wolves in Game 7 with this massive collapse. And I think it's a lesson that sometimes you have to choose between, are you going to be your best when the playoffs come, or are you going to fight for seeding? Because sometimes you don't get to have both.
Great insight from longtime NBA insider Matt Moore of the Action Network joined us earlier on the show from Denver. If you missed the conversation, you can find the whole thing on our Facebook or Twitter pages as part of our podcast that we post every weekday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So yeah, you'll hear from the defending champs who were ousted, but pretty incredible to see the resiliency of the Wolves. And it was one of those series that just made my head hurt. How can a team lose by 35 after winning three in a row? How can the Wolves win two in a row and then drop three straight? It was wild swings in a seesaw type of affair. And so congratulations to the Wolves. First Western Conference Finals since 2004. So we're talking two decades. This means a lot to Minneapolis sports fans. But why do they always have to do it the hard way? Why? It's like the Miami Heat, right? They can't just win games and win series. They always have to do it the hard way. So we'll hear from, a salty Mike Malone. Or would you like to hear about it now? Yeah, I know you do. You would like to at this point before we take a break, just because it'll give you a chuckle as we head into our first break here this hour. Mike Malone gets salty anyway when, I don't know, you don't believe in his MVP center.
Soft.
Or he doesn't like your press room.
What a bad press room, by the way.
Or he's just tired because there's so much scout and a lot of traveling and not much downtime during the playoffs.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
You pay that price for being defending champions. Well, maybe, just maybe, needed a little extra time to cool off before he started talking about their collapse in Game 7.
How hard is it just to absorb a loss like this after going ahead by 20?
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid ass questions.
Stupid ass questions. Not just your questions are dumb. Dumb question. Next question. Stupid ass question.
Stupid ass questions.
All right, then. Apparently, the reporter who asked him the question is someone who covers the team on a regular basis. And so he tweeted later that he was not taking offense, that he certainly understood, although, goodness, Mike, at least when Bill Belichick thinks your question is dumb, he just answers yes or no or gives you a look. But to call it a stupid-ass question?
Stupid-ass questions.
Anyway, the Nuggets are out. That means we'll have a new defending champion, or a new champion, I should say. The Timberwolves and the Mavericks, who had their own rally and a scintillating finish on Saturday night against Oklahoma City. And then the East is set as well after the Pacers, maybe blowout isn't the right term, but the Pacers blew the doors off Madison Square Garden with a record shooting game. And so we're into the NBA's Final Four. Also, we have a Game 7 tonight in hockey, which is fun. Vancouver and Edmonton. So the second round isn't finished just yet.
The Vancouver Canucks?
Yes, them.
Vancouver Canucks.
You're going to have to practice that if they do end up moving on to the Western Conference Finals. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It's a Monday.
And I'm out.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jamal Murray, he's across the timeline, spins away from Edwards. 4 seconds left. Takes a tough three. That one's no good. Rebound Towns, and there's the horn. The Denver Nuggets are excused from the Western Conference playoffs. Out of the 4 home games they had against Minnesota, they won one. Final tonight in game number 7, 98-90, Minnesota over Denver.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the final call on the Nuggets radio network. Decidedly less emotional and agitated than what Jason Kosmicki normally is at the end of a Nuggets playoff game. Alan Horton, by the way, is the play-by-play voice on the Timberwolves radio network heading into the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. And for Kat, for Rudy Gobert, for Anthony Edwards, for the Wolves themselves, the defense is kind of a representation of who they are as a team because they do fight, they scratch, they claw. They've been dealt some tough blows, some adversity over the course of the year and then also into the postseason. Remember when Kat got hurt, a lot of people expected them to plummet from the top of the Western Conference, but they didn't. And it seems fitting that a team with its track record representing a city and a franchise that, gosh, have seen most of the rest of the West have their rise and their falls, get successful, get superstars. They've really had to grow them there, right? This is not a destination for your top free agents. In fact, in order to get Rudy Gobert, they had to give up the sun, the moon, and the stars. An unheard of, what was it, 5 draft picks? 5 first rounders? To get Rudy Gobert. I mean, granted, he's a defensive player of the year and a unique talent, but 5 first round draft picks? Minnesota is maybe rewriting the narrative about playing for the Wolves now as they complete the largest comeback in a Game 7 in NBA history. 15 points down at half, 20 points down early in the third quarter. cat with...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
23 and 12 boards.
Started hitting some shots, playing some defense, even better at a higher level, I thought. And this is Timberwolves basketball. I think this was just a real showing of Timberwolves basketball at its finest, you know, where it's a team effort.
It showed us who we are, because the coaches believed in us, even though at halftime, even in the third, we was down 20. They, like, just keep making runs. And it showed us who we are, man, once we really lock in on the defensive end, because offensively we played okay. But once we really lock in on the defensive end, man, we're a hell of a team to beat.
Kept looking at the field goal percentage, and we were in the 40s, in the 30s. Our defense was there. And then it went to a special place in the third quarter, you know, where we've been able to take it at times. And, you know, just everybody just kind of, you know, bucking up and making plays and executing the game plan.
Chris Finch is still on crutches, but I suppose the joy maybe mitigates some of the pain from the injury he suffered earlier in the playoffs. 32-9 run in the second half, and they make their first conference final in decades. As for the Nuggets, this is where the road ends. Now, I dare say it's a lot more painful if they haven't won a championship yet. That's got to count for something. A little bit of equity there since they were just sized for rings not that long ago. Yes, Mike Malone was salty. And yes, he's calling for help around his two stars in Jamal and Joker, and even said we've got to have more around those two guys. But also looking ahead to the future.
Go from training camp all the way through, and then it comes to an abrupt halt, and that hurts. So use that feeling as motivation to come back a better player. We won it last year. Teams in the West, they regrouped, they retooled. How are we going to beat the champs? And teams got better.
Aaron Gordon said something similar. We've had a target on our backs all year, and it's exhausting. He actually used the word, I'm exhausted. And it made me think of the Warriors and how many years they were the hunted and the staying power of a team that goes to four NBA finals in a row. And then around COVID and some injuries, they get back to another NBA finals and win it again. To always have the rest of the league chasing you, it's a tough place to be. And so for the Nuggets, now maybe they're not the hunted. They're back to being the hunter. I think that's what Jamal Murray said afterwards. He finished with 35, but 24 of those came in the first half last night.
I feel like we should have won tonight. That's the tough part, you know. They beat us, but we had so many great opportunities, including myself. So it's just tough, man. I'm just excited for next year.
That's what happens, you know. Sometimes you make shots, sometimes you miss shots. And today I think we didn't miss shots. I think we missed a lot of good shots, but, you know, that's not just on us. They played some good defense. That's why the number one defense in the NBA. You have a seven game, so over best of seven. So if someone beats you, I think they're the better team. Congrats to them. Like we did we have our chances? Of course we did, but if someone beats you, I mean, they're just better.
Doesn't seem too emotionally torn up about it. Mike Malone's busy telling people they're asking stupid-ass questions.
Stupid-ass questions.
Joker's like, they're just better. At least Jamal got emotional about it.
They're just better.
All right. Thank you for the synopsis. I swear, I was actually telling the TV that he needed to stop shooting threes. But you could see that he got exhausted. He was too tired to go into the lane, into the paint and battle like they'd done earlier in the game. And even a little bit there in the second half, he just started settling for threes. And he knocked down a couple in the fourth quarter, but ugly. They were tired. They were out of gas. Played right into the hands of Anthony Edwards and the Wolves. Speaking of being out of gas, you can only ask a locker room that's missing 17 players to injuries to do so much. That was the Knicks. They gave it absolutely everything they had. There was no quit in the New York Knicks in their Game 7 at Madison Square Garden on Sunday. But when you are missing, well, you're missing you're missing Julius Randle, you're missing Mitchell Robinson. OG Anunoby tried to play but managed only 5 minutes and was out again. And then your star point guard breaks his hand in the second half. That's tough. I'm trying to think who it was that made the comment. I don't remember who it was, but someone on the broadcast on ABC, that there is no more next man up because there's just no more men for the New York Knicks. They can't go next man up. Honestly, though, Jay, I'm not sure it would have mattered. The way that the Pacers shot, I don't think they could have put an extra five guys out there, and I'm not sure it would have mattered against the Pacers, who hit 76% of their shots in the first half. And yes, the Knicks did manage a couple of times to cut the deficit to single digits. The crowd was going crazy there at Madison Square Garden, but every single time the Pacers responded. So they get to their first Eastern Conference Finals since 2014. So how about that? We've got two teams providing us with some fresh blood. The Wolves not since 2004, and the Pacers not for a decade. So you hear from some of the Pacers after they set the record for the highest field goal percentage in an NBA playoff game in history. 67%. Yes, the injuries make a difference for the Knicks. They had tired legs too. They gave it everything they had, but also they're missing some of their best offensive players. Really just can't counter what the Pacers were doing and extended over the course of that game seven. Plus, Xander Schauffele wins his first major after 9 other wins on the PGA Tour, and he had to do it with a birdie on the final. Isn't that the stuff that kids dream about? But I suppose most kids dream about hitting the game-winning shot in a game 7 in the NBA or on the ice.
I just dream about a birdie anytime. Really, I'll take it.
A goal in sudden death overtime. But if you are someone who dreamed golf dreams, well, he just provided you with some brand new material. But does that overshadow what happened with Scottie Scheffler? Or does that take the attention away from what happened with Scottie? I don't think so. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I just told our team, when you win a game seven in Madison Square Garden, you've made history. It's very, very difficult to do. This is the most raucous crowd in the NBA.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Rick Carlisle. You made history by winning a game seven in Madison Square Garden, and certainly disappointing for the Knicks. But what can you do except give the Pacers credit for the way that they shot the lights out? A record-setting performance, 76% from the floor in the first half. And then, oh, they cooled off so much that for the game, they only shot 67%. Dante DiVincenzo had a pretty sweet performance himself with 39. And Josh Hart's out there despite all banged up and dealing with abdominal injury or pain, or maybe we should just label it like a hockey injury. It's a lower body injury, a mid-body injury, a midsection.
I think with the Knicks, it's just full-body injury.
Yeah, everything, all of it. So neither of the home teams win in Game 7 on Sunday. We've got the conference finals that start Tuesday in the East at Boston, and then Wednesday taking place at Minnesota, which is kind of fun. They get to host. As for the Pacers, they're a neat story. As much as the Knicks, people are pointing to, look how far they've gone. They were never expected to go this far. One win shy of the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's probably all true, considering what they lost to injury. Sometimes sheer willpower for this team. And I do really like the chemistry of Tom Thibodeau's crew. But the Pacers, it's not just because they shot well. For them to get contributions from all over the place, amazing. Pascal Siakam, really a difference maker for them when he joined the team. Tyrese Halliburton, he led the team in scoring, but they had six guys in double figures yesterday. So Tyrese, this is only for Jay. This is for Jay. He believes the man is a ventriloquist. Somehow changes his voice. He throws his voice. All right, so we're going to play two Tyrese Halliburton bites back to back. We swear it's the same guy, or Jay does. I believe Jay. First, he was asked about his Reggie Miller hoodie postgame, and then he was talking about how the locker room itself has high expectations. We're just going to play it back to back.
We text every day. I mean, this has just been a good mentor for me, but I mean, I'm just wearing a hoodie. I like to be comfy on the plane.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I honestly don't know. I got this hoodie like 2 days ago, so appreciate whoever gave it to me. Got sent to my house.
Preseason camp in Nashville, just players, no coaches. And that was what we communicated from the jump, that we expected to be here. This ain't a surprise for us. You know, it's no fluke. We expect this from our group. And then once we added P, we knew that we could really take off.
P meaning Pascal. Sometimes when I'm dealing with allergies, and I've never had them until last year, or if I have a cold, my voice can sound like a lounge singer who's been smoking a pack a day for as long as he, a male lounge singer who is a big-time cigarette smoker. My voice can definitely change when it comes to the elements. But
His is like
his goes
30
up.
Seconds after each other.
He gets excited, and it's
he
like
he texts every day.
It's a different register.
Preseason camp in Nashville.
I don't believe you. I don't think it's the same guy.
Same guy. Same. It's literally just a minute. It's the next question. He doesn't change anything. He doesn't reposition himself. He's just talking like he was. And then his voice just changes. I don't understand. Bizarre.
Maybe he should be in voice acting.
But he's not like doing anything different. Unless he's messing
with all
of us. How do you
know? He could be messing with you. Exactly.
He'd have some pretty impressive vocal cords.
It sounds like a guy who's a lot younger in the second bite, too.
Preseason camp in Nashville. He texts every day.
It's bizarre.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and producer Jace, the one who finds these fun little comparisons. It's not the first time with Tyrese Halliburton. He can't get over it. So good for the Pacers. Moving on. As for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson with the broken hand in the third quarter. His hand had a collision with Tyrese Halliburton's leg. So that he got the raw end of that deal. Thibodeau was asked if the season was a success. Then the same question was asked of Jalen Brunson. It's obviously subjective, but the two have very different answers.
The thing that you, as a coach, you always measure, okay, what does the group have, and are we getting everything out of the group? And the only thing you could ask for is everyone puts forth their best effort. And we got that all year from these guys.
Did we win the championship? Did we get close?
Stupid-ass questions.
So, no. That's my mindset. This is how it is.
He actually didn't say stupid-ass questions. But
stupid-ass questions.
If you would ask that question of Michael Malone, he would have responded with stupid-ass questions. I honestly thought the question was a fair one. I feel like there would have been a different version of that question had that particular reporter not asked it.
I feel like it would have been bad if that question like wasn't asked, honestly. Yeah.
Right? We're not doing our job if we don't ask.
Exactly.
Stupid-ass questions. F being down 20.
Stupid-ass questions.
Man, maybe he needed just a little longer cooling off period. Maybe till the next day.
That might have helped.
I'm not sure Bill Belichick has ever said stupid-ass questions. I mean, he makes you feel like you asked a stupid-ass question.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
But he's generally, even if he doesn't mean it, he's complimentary of your question.
I know how interested you are in that subject.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know how interested I am in the subject of Scottie Scheffler getting arrested. I can't believe it happened while we were on the air and we didn't know about it till after. Don't! We're interviewing a guy who's at Valhalla and we don't know about it until after the fact. Still, though, I do appreciate that Scottie not only managed to keep golfing, but also when he addressed the media on Friday, first thing he said was, you know, I feel for the man and the man's family who's missing him today, the event worker who lost his life in that accident that had stopped the traffic. And so, yes, a man lost his life in a tragic accident. That was the first thing that happened. Scottie Scheffler gets booked on multiple charges and then has to go and play golf. And as he remains in contention Friday and plays well on Sunday, Saturday's kind of the blip day where he's over par for the first time in forever. He was still on Sunday talking about the impact these last few days had on him.
On the golf course, I've always been proud of my toughness out there. I think I love competing. I love, you know, trying to get the most out of my game out here. And, you know, I typically try to keep the off course life as quiet as possible. And, you know, this week obviously was not that way, and so it was a bit different in that sense. But, you know, I'm proud of how Tate and I went around this week and competed and, you know, was able to post a decent finish towards the end of the week, kind of running on fumes.
He said he got back to his place where he's staying at 9 o'clock on Friday and realized he hadn't eaten, and he wasn't even hungry. It's crazy what that can do to you, I'm sure. And he mentioned his heart rate was elevated for quite a while. Xander Schauffele ultimately birdies number 18 to break a tie with Bryson DeChambeau, who also birdied 18, and he is now a first-time major champion.
I've become very patient, not knocking off any wins in the last couple of years. The people that are closest to me know how stubborn I can be, so winning. I said it earlier, it is a result. I mean, this is awesome. It's super sweet.
First emotions, proud of Xander for finally getting the job done. I mean,
ouch.
He's an amazing golfer and well-deserved major champion now. He's played well for a long, long time. I played against him as a junior, and it's cool to see him. Not only he's just a great human being, but an unbelievable golfer, and it shows this week, and super happy for him.
Bryson nearly pulled off the live upset. Can you imagine? Just more of the divisiveness we've got in golf right now.
He hit live.
But he didn't. He birdied 18 to tie Xander, and then Xander comes along behind him and also birdies 18. So congratulations to him. He'd won 9 times on the PGA Tour, but never a major as the number 3 golfer in the world. But I bet you it was Scottie Scheffler that drew more people to the TV. We'll talk to you tonight. Have a great Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.